Welcome back to Count Me In, the podcast that explores the world of business from the management accountant's perspective. I'm your host, Adam Larson. Today, we are joined by Nick Davies, an executive coach to leaders and other professionals looking to take their expertise to the next level. At the heart of Nick's coaching philosophy is what he calls the achiever's mindset and how learning to harness that powerful mental tool can lead to transformative results for management accountants and other go-getters in both business and in life. I hope you enjoy the show today. Let's start the conversation with Nick. So Nick, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. We really appreciate you spending time with us. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about the achiever's mindset. But before we get there, I'd like you to kind of give a little bit of your background for our audience today and how you got to the point where you are today.
How long have I got? You know, it's interesting. I was having this conversation yesterday with someone about talking about their story, and a fantastic story this lady had working in her business. And it's something that I made a distinction of a long time ago, that I had a resistance to sharing my story. And I thought, well, who wants to hear my story? It's just my story. And then what I realized was that, yeah, it's boring to me because it's my story, you know? So I always like it when people can share, because even if it feels like it's just your thing, it's like, well, other people haven't had that experience, you know? And so for me, growing up in England, I worked for almost 20 years in the banking world, all over the world. I've lived in three continents and five locations, and spent a long time doing something that I didn't really want to be doing, and kind of went outside this personal development journey about 10, 12 years ago. I asked myself, like, what did I want to do when I grew up? You know, eventually moved to the States and lived in Florida, worked on Wall Street for a while, and decided that's it. Like, I like working with people. I want to work with people working on what's most important for them, whatever it is, whatever industry agnostic, but use my experience working in the corporate world and understanding how things work, but also work for what's people's goals that are most important to them. And so I was going to become a coach, and it's been an amazing journey over the last 6 or 7 years. At this point, coached hundreds of people all different walks of life in the corporate setting, in every different industry, business owners, non-business owners, worked on all people's part of life. And it's something I get very passionate about now, and I'm privileged to do every day.
As you were talking, it kind of made me think about, a lot of us are, we may feel successful where we are in our careers, but despite having a pretty good handle on it, we feel like we're missing something, right? We feel like we're missing, we want to be a top performer, but how do we get to the next level? So maybe that's kind of where we're going to focus in on the conversation is how do we boost our skills? And wherever we are, you know, this podcast is for folks affecting the accounting and finance world. So accountants and folks in the accounting and finance world, how do we get to that next level? You know, we're not talking about specific accounting things right now, but it's just that, you know, how do we become successful in the next moment?
And I think that you talked about skills and you talked about, yeah, we're not going to talk about the technicalities of accounting and finance. No, that's not the point. And so what I believe is that, right, it really starts with, well, where do you want to go? What type of person do you want to create within yourself? What type of life do you want to create? Rather than looking for skills or practices or best practices or strategies, it's like, let's start with the best version of what it could be. If you could have it any way you would want it, like, what would that look like? And really start from that point. And oftentimes that comes with a resistance. Like, well, what do you mean? I want to get 10% better this year. I want to get 20% better this year. It's like, well, that's great and good for you. No judgment. But what if you could flip it all in its head? What if you could get 100 times better? What would that mean? What actually does that look like for you? And if you're thinking with that end in mind, then you tend to find the path to get there.
So if you're thinking with that end in mind, how do you get to that change of mindset? Because you're here and you're like, I just want to improve like 10%, you said, but you just mentioned 100% better. Like, those seem like very drastically different numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And some of it starts with being willing. Right? And something within, because you start to talk about, right, like some of us consider ourselves successful, but maybe there's something niggling inside you, go, well, maybe it's not quite what I want, or maybe I could be doing this in a different way. And it's really kind of leaning into some of that. And I believe that we all have it. And a lot of us go through our lives in a little bit of a fog, sometimes a lot of a fog, just doing what we think is the right thing to do. You know, I think about when I got into banking, I thought it was like, well, that's good. They want to pay me to do this. All right. and I'll play your game, and then you can pay me some more, and I'll play some more, I get paid some more. It's like, and it just goes and goes and goes, and that's really all you know. And it's not often you get to start to step back and go, well, hang on, is this really what I want? Like, deeply to my core, do I get excited to do this every day? Does it keep me up late? Not just because I'm told to, or that there's deadlines, or is it because I want to? Am I getting up early to go and practice to be the best version of this? And that's a question that, like, hand on heart, that I believe most people can't answer. And I believe that that was just something that wasn't available for me. Like, that wasn't the sort of person that I was. I thought that stuff was reserved for sports stars, or, you know, people that are in a creative field. But I believe it's available for everyone if you're willing to look.
Hmm. So if you're willing to look, maybe we can start talking about, can you define the achiever's mindset for us? And we can discuss that a little bit more.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the achiever's mindset is really about knowing that, like, there's always something else. There are no limits to what we can achieve. At the baseline, the achiever's mindset for me is that I believe that anything's possible. If you think about what humans have achieved, I was just watching, me and my wife sat down last night to watch Netflix. We were watching the SpaceX documentary that was on there. And that, what a great example that is about what we can achieve. You know, even Elon Musk said, when we first started out, I thought there was a 10% chance we'd get someone to orbit. And it just comes from a place of, look, I'm willing to move forward. I'm willing to throw the other paradigms out. I'm willing to think a little bit differently. I'm willing to just explore. It's not like I'm going to be committed no matter what. I'm just willing to explore. I'm going to go from the baseline that anything's possible. And if you think about it, that's one example. But think about what we've achieved as human race. But just in the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 years, it's ridiculous. And so pretty much I believe that human possibilities is pretty much endless. Capability is there. So we're all human. So what's the difference? The difference is deciding that you want to go and get some of that, or get more of that. And the more that you play in the sandbox in that space, the more that your mind starts to expand. And then you start to see other possibilities and you start to play with it, right? So it's more like it starts from that baseline that anything's possible. That's what really the achiever mindset is, as a starting point.
So that sounds wonderful in theory. Can we maybe focus in on maybe some more practical application of that? And maybe you can share some examples of, you know, we don't have to give any names of folks who've been able to take this mindset and do something great with their careers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of it, right? Like, it's like, well, the theory and translating it to the strategy, right? Because as soon as you get to the strategy, you're back to the how. When you're in the how, it's like, well, come on, I need to see the actual practical steps right now. It's like, well, that kind of defeats the purpose. It's a balance, right? It's a balance of going, okay, well, here's the part where, like, anything's possible. And those people oftentimes get called dreamers, pie in the sky, blue sky thinking. And those people that are working on the practical things are looking at those people going, well, come on, man, come down from the clouds here. You need to make that practical. You need to make that actionable. And those people are actually absolutely right. But these people up here, without these people, we wouldn't be able to create things that aren't available right now. We wouldn't be able to dream. So where's the right place to be? It's like both, right? Because if you're up here, you can't do the action. And if you were down here in the weeds, you can't see where you're going. I love it's something I thought of a long time ago, Adam. I just love the thought of, like, being in a jungle. Like, let's say you're in a jungle and you're with a bunch of people and you've got, like, a machete and you're hacking through the jungle and you can only see what you hacked down in front of you. And you're heading towards a camp for the night, let's say a direction you're going to try and find something. And you've been doing this thing for hours, you're just hacking away, going, are we in the right direction? And everyone in your group's getting a bit fed up and tired. They're like, hey, leader, hey, boss, like, where are we going? Are we there yet? And everyone's getting a bit uptight because they're not quite sure. And they're like, yeah, we're going the right way, hacking, more and more effort. And, you know, this helicopter comes past, right? And you're like, gives you a rope to jump on. You jump on the rope and you get wood up to a helicopter. From the helicopter, you can see everything. And you can see the whole jungle you're in. You can see exactly the whole place of where you're supposed to go. And you can notice that, look, you know what? I'm 200 feet from where I want to be going. And so you can come back down into the jungle and go, hey, guys, we've got it, 200 feet. Now the mood completely changed. The outlook completely changed. What they believe is possible completely changes. Because you go 200 feet in that direction and then you're there. It's like, from the place in the helicopter, you can't do the work. But if you haven't got the outlook and know when to get back in the helicopter, you're going to quickly drive yourself into a place where all you believe is all you're doing is go around in circles, go around in circles. And that's the balance to get to, right? It's like there's no, here's another way to think about it, right? Oftentimes in life, we think binary. It's yes or it's no. You're in and you're out. But really life is more of a scale, right? It's like one extreme to the other. There's so many stops along those ways. So it's just what's the right balance. And so if you find yourself biased in a particular direction, which most of us do, everyone has their biases, no good or bad, just that's just our. And you might say, well, okay, how might I lean to the other place to perhaps open up some more possibilities?
Yeah. Everything you said kind of helped me think about it in a lot of different directions, but it's great for leaders to be able to take that, you know, helicopter trip up to be able to see everything and say, okay, this is where we need to go to help your team understand the why and what we're doing and get that morale going. But what if you're standing there watching your leader go up and you're like, wait, but I want to see up there. How do you get from where you are and go up there? Because maybe you're a staff accountant and you're just in the numbers every day, but you want to get to that CFO level so that you can see all the things. What's that first step you need to take?
Beautiful question. Thanks, Adam. Thank you for contextualizing that. It's really powerful. Yeah, you've got to, especially in organizations, you've got to make sure that you're still playing your own game. Right. So for instance, I work with quite a few financial advisors. There's a guy that I work with this morning, and like he has a particular goal that his company has given him for a certain amount of transactions and dollar value for the year, of course. And that's the goal that they've given him and said, like, okay, this is what you need to go and produce. Now that's based on what they think that they need in totality. There's some generalities to it as well, because it's spread across many different people. And what we work on is what's his actual goal within that? What does he own, right? So if you're the junior guy looking up to the CFO, you've got to go, look, where do you want to be going? You've got to get your own damn helicopter. And you want to make sure that either it is in line with where the helicopter's going for the CFO for the company, and you've got to know that. And if it is, awesome, then you can plot that path within that. Or if it's not, then you want to know that as well, then you can take a different path. It's really knowing where you're going, either inside of someone else's game or creating your own game. And again, that's part of the fog of it. It's like, all I can do is I've got to wait for the next person to move up again. It's like, are you really playing your own game or are you playing someone else's game?
I really like what you're saying there is you have to get your own helicopter. You can't use your current CFO's helicopter. You have to get your own helicopter so that you can start to see where you need to go. You can't focus on his journey. I mean, you can learn from their journeys. You can learn from steps they've taken, but you can't jump on their helicopter and expect to go the same place.
Yeah. Like, and if you're good with that, then that's fine. But it's having the awareness to know that you are on someone else's journey.
Yeah.
Like if you haven't got a plan for your life, you'll end up fulfilling someone else's plan. You'll be part of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, just having the outcomes or the awareness to know what that is. I think it's really, really powerful.
Yeah, that is very powerful. And I think the other thing that I was thinking about too is if you're sitting there, you know, you've gotten your own helicopter, you may recognize that my journey will not continue at this organization. Maybe my journey needs to go to another organization. And so, you know, that's a scary place to be because you may be just earlier in your career and you're like, if the place I want to go is over here, but I see that my journey is not going to stay here. And you don't know, like there's a lot of unknowns there, and the unknown is very difficult, especially when you're trying to, you know, try to change your mindset.
Yeah. We are people, all people are driven or not, as the case may be, by fear. And whether we want to admit that or not, that's really what it is. And it's certainly true for me. I can tell you that for nothing, right? Like it's something that's always coming up. But what we do is we tend to optimize for the fear of taking action.
Yeah.
What we don't tend to think about is the fear of inaction. And that's for me the biggest opportunity cost. Mm. It's like if I take this, if it, my journey is not at this place, it's like, oh no, like now I'm not in a place where I want to be. That's scary. I've got to make some change. I've got to like get uncomfortable. I've got to move to somewhere else. I've got to figure some stuff out. True. But the alternative is that you don't make a change. Even though something in you tells you that's not quite right, You don't make a change. You follow the beaten path. You do the things that you're supposed to do. You take the next part up. You take 10%, 10%. And then somewhere down the line, 10, 15, 20 years, goodness, could be you go, oh, man, I've just spent 20 years in a place I didn't want to be in. And that's what I get so passionate about, what I do. Now, I honor my journey because I did spend 20 years doing something I didn't want to do, and it gave me a lot. And that's exactly what my path was is supposed to be. And now I get to share with people, right? Let's come back and compress some of that time. Because deep down, I knew if I'd really asked myself the deep questions at any of that spot, I could tell myself that, like, this isn't the right thing. Got to start thinking about doing something different and figuring something out. It doesn't have to be a huge change, but just be honest with yourself. Like, dirt honest.
So if you're being, I like the idea of being honest with yourself, because that's something that I think a lot of us kind of struggle with and just growing in our careers and our personal lives is being honest with ourselves. And I think something we need to remind everybody is that these journeys, this getting to these mindsets is not something that happens like today I'm here and then tomorrow I'm going to be at 100%. No, it's an actual journey that takes time. So yeah, you may be taking those incremental steps, but eventually that helicopter's, and you got to grab on, right?
Absolutely. And that's why playing up at this place, which feels like it's pie in the sky, and going, what's that difference between, if 10% is that, what's 100%? It's opening possibilities. It's saying, well, look, what if I could have it anywhere I want it to be? And if you, let's say you're just starting out in where you are in your accountancy career, let's say you're like, okay, what do I want to do? What's the best version of this? If everything went exactly as I wanted it to go, if I could snap my fingers and create that, what would it be? Mm. And you might say, well, what for? Because I can't get there yet. There's no point. But the sooner you can do that and create something, you have a place to move towards and your life will start to optimize for that just naturally because you'll be thinking about it. And then you can take actual action, make it real, take those steps. Mm-hmm. And you might also say, well, I don't know yet. Well, part of that is also a game of just saying, what's the right thing for right now? Oh, and by the way, you could also say, I'm not prepared to do anything on that yet. But either way, you're being honest with yourself and being intentional about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's so important, is that you may not be ready for the next step. And this idea of, like, you can't always be in the clouds, obviously, because you'll never get anything done. But you can't always be in the weeds because then you'll never see the big picture.
Right.
So finding that balance. So we've talked about the person who is early in their career. So maybe let's talk about leaders. You know, I'm a leader and I have a team of 20 people and I'm like, okay, I want to have this achiever's mindset. I want to see the big picture, but also see the practical. I want to find that balance for myself and then also teach it to my team. How can leaders help get their team to a place where they're starting to find that balance as well?
Yeah. Great question. Thanks, Adam. And so first things first is knowing, as a leader, where are you going? Mm. Can you specifically articulate super quick what is success for you by the end of this year or the next relative point that you're looking at in your career or that business line or that area of focus? And then when you know what that is and what you're doing every day to get you there, even without sharing it, people gravitate to that because that's the guy that looks like he's got everything figured out. Right? It's like you can tell it when you even look at people, right? When you're walking around the office, if we do that anymore, right? You see people and the people that know where they're, you can look at people and go, that person knows where he's going. Mm. And because he has an intentional outlook of what success looks like to him or her that day, that week, that month, that year. So that's the starting point, right? And that will create people who will naturally follow you anyway. It's people in your team. That's what leadership is. Management is the sorting it out and figuring it out. The leadership is just doing the thing and people follow that. People gravitate towards that. So it's first of all, knowing what it is for you. And as a leader, likelihood, your goal, your vision is something that's bigger than you anyway. You need to enroll other people in it. And part of your power as leader, part of your requirement, your responsibility as leader is to be able to share that, share what that is and articulate in a way that we can attach to it. Right. And sometimes people will share that, like, I'm not thinking about this emotionally. I'm not thinking about it in that way. I just need to do these things, do that. And I get that. It's like, all right, cool. There's a practical sense to it. If I do that, I do that. And then I get that. But everything has emotion tied to it. Everything is tied to emotion. And if you don't think yourself as an emotional person, And then there's a reaction to that. No, I'm definitely not an emotional person. It's like, well, that's an emotional reaction. We can't get away from it, right? And we should honor those feelings and however that means to you, however it shows up, everyone's a bit different. But that's part of it. And knowing, be able to articulate that to your team is a really good step. And then, again, going back to being dirt honest, this is where we're going as a team, and this is where we want to go overall. Are you on board for this? So you're helping them. You're in your leadership helicopter, to extend the analogy, looking back at the other helicopters going, hey, guys, or looking back down on the down in the jungle going, hey, guys, are you in your helicopter yet? Do you want to hitch a ride on mine? Because I'm going over here. Mm. So you're creating a way of, so some people might not be ready to get in their helicopter yet, but you're saying, I got mine. Are you willing to get into it with me? Because we're going on this journey as well. All right, so that's really what it is. And then once you're aligned, all the things that are part of it, which is basically communication, will figure themselves out. We can't go anywhere until we know we're aligned.
I like that picture of there's times where we as leaders have to pick people up and carry them with us and saying, hey guys, come with me, see what it's like up here.
Yeah.
And then here, look, your helicopter's right there, jump in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And all done with like no judgment. And it's like, this is where I'm going. I'm all in. I'd love it for you to come. And if not, then I want to know that as well.
Yeah.
Because it can be, and I've been in leadership positions where it's just like, what's wrong? Like, what? Like, this is what's laid out. Like, which is what you signed up for. Like, why can't you do it? What are you doing? And there's so many things to pick out of that. Like, they might not have signed up for that. where do we have the explicit conversation about this particular thing? We might not have done. And I'm judging them in that moment. I'm saying like, what's wrong with you? Or I'm implying what's wrong with you. And when people feel like they're being judged, they're going to shut down. They're not going to play. And so the goal always is to think about things like, okay, well, where do you want to go? And put yourself in their shoes and create the opportunity for people to step into it, right? Rather than close things down. And so that's a real big part of it.
So as we wrap up our conversation, I think this has been really great, just kind of understanding this achiever's mindset. It seems like there's one word that, I don't, you may have said it already, but there's one word that seemed, or it's a hyphenated word, I should say, that seems to be very important in this whole thing is self-awareness.
Yes.
You need to be aware of self, of how you're feeling, of how of where you are in your journey, because that's where we have to start. Maybe we can talk a little bit about self-awareness and how it connects to everything. Cause I feel like that's a real connector for a lot of this that we've been discussing.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Adam. Yeah. Self-awareness is great. I just call it awareness because it fits within the model, which I think that we live in, and everything starts with awareness. Without awareness, you got nothing. It's not everything by itself, but it's a place that we need to start, right? Because when you can understand where you really are and be honest with yourself, and like if you're going to build anything, you want to dig down first, make sure you've got the right foundations, right? That's what awareness is. It's like taking stock. What's really true? What's really important for you? Where are you? And then that awareness then allows us to jump off to action. So I call this the AAA approach, right? And I believe, I mean, that's semantics, but I believe we're always in this AAA approach. It's a cycle of life. So awareness, knowing where you are, jump off to the action, which is actually creating a plan, right? Back down to the very specific roadmap of where we're going. Like that's the actual strategy, the tools, the skills, all that stuff is very important, but we can't do that until we start with the awareness part. So we move off into the action plan, and the action is knowing, okay, this is where I'm specifically going over this particular milestone, this timeline I've defined. Here's the action I'm going to take. And then that last A of that AAA approach is achievement. And the achievement part is the checking in part. That's how we know whether we should be up on the helicopter or down in the weeds, because it constantly changes. And so every week, and so I work with my clients, every week we come back together, go, did you do the things you said you were going to do? Oh, great. What results did you get based on that? Good, bad, and different? Again. And, you know, life happens. And sometimes it will be like, oh, I didn't do anything. Okay, what do we want to get back to now? Because without that last A, that achievement, even if here's the scariest part, Adam, perhaps, is that you see some self-awareness to call it your way. And you start to go, yes, I'm committed to this. I've thought about something that's completely different. You start to take action. You have a little plan in place, and then something happens, life happens, you get smashed in the face emotion and you get hit down, you forget it, and you come back to it a month later, 6 months later,
yeah,
a year later, and it didn't happen for you, and you think, oh man, it must be me. something must be wrong with me. Maybe this isn't on the cards for me. And it's just the process. And that's like the scariest thing, because the next time you get yourself back up again, you're going to be a little bit less certain that you can. And that could have been a year gone by. But that's why it's so important to have something around you with that accountability and that place where you can check in every week, because the maximum you can lose is a week. I get very passionate about this because I know how powerful it can be to keep in that space.
This has been Count Me In, IMA's podcast, providing you with the latest perspectives of thought leaders from the accounting and finance profession. If you like what you heard and you'd like to be counted in for more relevant accounting and finance education, visit IMA's website at www.imanet.org.